as we head to the NFC North. I'm Kyle, the student of the game, and to my right, once again, Stephen Weasel Hurley, Chris Rankin, here to help you bring the action, the strategy, all the story behind the preseason, because, let's face it, we're sick of watching effing baseball highlights. Anyways, so starting off with the Bears here, probably one, for me at least, one of the single most teams to make any sense out of it. Just because last year's performance, I think, was more underperformance than an actual showing of what they're capable of. Jay Cutler threw a ton of interceptions, of which he's going to get all the blame for, even though he had a rookie core that averaged probably, let's say, 1.5 years of legitimate experience at receiver. Yes, I know Devin Hester's been in the league longer than that, but it was his first real effort at being a full-time receiver. So him, Earl Bennett, Johnny Knox, who we all know I'm real fond of, who listened to the show last year, all a year wiser. Their running back core to me is impressive. Matt Forte, Chester Taylor, big mistake Minnesota giving that up. We'll get to that in a minute. Khalil Bell, and fourth stringer, still a reasonable talent, Garrett Wolfe. Their O-line is the biggest thing I have a problem with, as they still retain Greg Ellis on offense. Anybody else have any other thoughts on the Bears' offense at all?
No.
All
right.
Okay. They drafted some O-line. About it.
Mm-hmm. Which they definitely needed an improvement on that. They tried to make something out of Orlando Pace, I think, for a little bit, and I think he lasted about 2 seconds before he got hurt.
First three picks were... Well, the problem, though, with that is that they didn't have a first-round pick or a second-round pick.
That's correct.
So their first three picks were on defense, but those were late-round picks.
But then also now you got, Mike Martz, offensive coordinator?
Yeah, that's true.
Chicago, so.
Right, which is an interesting touch, except you get to the part where he's famous for having plays that take longer to develop, and you have an offensive line that's weak. Need time to develop. Offensive line that's weak. Look, maybe Mike Martz could have done something to help out Rex Grossman back in the day, where he would have 6 to 10 seconds, literally, to throw the ball and still throw a pick. Maybe Mike Martz would have been helping him out back in the days where they unfairly and undeservedly got the Super Bowl, but not so much now. The defense, though, still slightly a factor. Julius Peppard, huge, huge pickup, making the defensive line for the Bears relevant again. At linebacker, I could be cruel and make Weasel try to pronounce his name, but I won't do it. Pisa Tinuisamoa. Oh, I almost stuttered it. Tinuisamoa. Ryan Urlacher and Lance Briggs. I'm forced to mention the fourth linebacker because at some point one of these three will be hurt. And, of course, Hunter Hillenmeyer will be there to fill that out. So it's a good linebacker core. And help me out, guys. Other than Charles Christmas Tree Tillman, because he always gets lit up, their DBs are no one special anymore. I mean, is that just me?
No. Okay. They lost Vaster to...
To the Chargers, correct.
The first pick, though, they did pick a safety. Major Wright.
That's from Florida.
See, much better name than Golden Tate. Y'all gotta say.
Golden Tate's badass. I like that.
Okay, yeah. You're also the vanilla hip-hop hope, okay? hip-hop hope. Write that down. So, despite my slight optimism and the fact that last year was an unfair, underachieving moment, the offense will improve. The defense, despite Julius Peppers, has not. The Bears finished 7-9. Weasel.
I'm much more optimistic.
Actually, let's save that. Chris, next.
I got him going 8-8, 3-3 in division.
Tito! 3-3 in division, 8-8.
I know why you're an optimist. Anyways, let's move on to... Oh, and yeah, by the way, in the division, I forgot to say, the Bears will go... Well, they'll split.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, probably at the expense of the Detroit Lions. Matt Stafford, Sean Hill, Drew Stanton on your quarterbacks. You got problems already. You got a quarterback who's a 49er reject. I'm just saying. I mean, back in the day, 49er rejects were awesome when it was, Steve Bono or...
Steve Young backing up Joe Montana.
Well, Steve Young was never a reject quarterback who played anywhere else. I mean, Montana at one point was a reject quarterback who almost took the Chiefs to the Super Bowl, but we're talking too much history at this point. I mean, some of our audience may not have even been born yet. But at running back, we have Kevin Smith and Maurice Morris, the wide receivers. Calvin Johnson, probably the most forgotten receiver just because he plays for that team. And then Nate Burleson, worth mentioning as well, along with I didn't pick up Tony Scheffler and Brandon Pettigrew. The D-line is what strikes my interest here, because when Ndamukong Suh is half of what they expect, Kyle VandenBosch is along with him. Now, does anybody remember another tandem that involved a talented defensive tackle in Kyle VandenBosch? Specifically with the Titans when he was around Albert Haynesworth. So all that Ndamukong Suh has to be able to do is pass his conditioning test, and that's going to be a badass D-line.
Yeah, he did that already.
Oh, hey, it's more we can say for Haynesworth. See what I did there with the Haynesworth and the joking? Right. So, however, it gets disappointing at linebacker when the only name I instantly recognize is Julian Peterson. He'll get hurt within four games anyway. They did pick up Kosa Simpson from Buffalo, overshadowed by Dante Whitner, but still a solid player, and Dre Bly at corner. Not enough, really, to work with. I think they have... the difference between this team and the Niners is their supporting cast is worse, and they have no quarterback. 4-12 for the Lions, 1-5 on the division. Weasel.
Just to mention, running back should be interesting for the next year with Kevin Smith. He may be returning for a torn ACL, and they run draft Jarvis Dex in the first round. So I still have them going 4-12, 1-5 in the division.
Again, we did not combine our forces here to come up with this. This is all just random if he happens to match me, unless I have some sort of a Trojan horse virus on my computer. Chris?
I got them 1-5 division, 5-11 overall.
And once again, the optimist among the three of us. So, going over to the Packers in the NFC North, a dominating force as the underappreciated and very talented Aaron Rodgers starts back room. Matt Flynn is back up. Running back Ryan Grant and Brandon Jackson, both reasonable contributors. Greg Jennings, Donald Driver, James Jones, solid core. JerMichael Finley and Donald Lee, excellent tight ends. Probably one of the best ace formation passing threats. In other words, both tight ends are very talented at catching the pass. And kind of rounds out for the offensive line, who, if they stay healthier than they did last year, might actually prove to compete. They'll come close to the playoffs, at the very least they'll be in the race, is what I'm going to say right now. On defense, Clay Matthews out with an injury, a crucial part of that defense. A.J. Hawk also a factor, and Charles Woodson, last year's Defensive Player of the Year candidate, although he did not win, but still kind of running out the solid Packer lineup there. Anything to add, anybody?
They did draft an offensive tackle, Ryan Beluga.
That's just worth saying that name, man. I mean, I hope his nickname is Baby Beluga. That'd be awesome.
And they have a cornerback returner coming back, possibly Will Blackman. Mm. He had a knee injury last year, and he was actually good. So they have a defensive tackle, Johnny Jolly.
Defensive end. Yeah.
Okay, so I'd like to see a little bit more from their D-line, but I mean that's really the gaping hole to me. Also worth mentioning, sorry, Bigman, not a factor. Season-ending surgery in the offseason to keep him out of action once again.
And also Al Harris is back too. So.
That's right, definitely worth mentioning here. I shouldn't have skipped him, absolutely. So in light of all that, I have the Packers at 10-6, 2-4 in the division. Weasel.
Also got him at 10-6, but I got him 4-2 in the division.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Chris?
I got him 5-1 in the division. 12-4.
Wow. Ooh. Okay, wow. This I'm going to break down for just a moment. We'll wait on that. I'll get to that in a second, because it'll come up in a minute, at least with my records. I don't know about you guys. Say it one more time. I got 10-6. You had?
10-6.
And Chris? 12-4.
12-4.
And I was basing all mine off of... we'll get to it in a minute.
Exactly. We'll get to it in a minute because, as anybody who does coverage in the NFL, I say it at the last because I didn't want to start it off and, you know, claim to be part of Farfest because I'm not. But we got to talk about the Vikings, which just means by accident we got to talk about this old punk. Yeah, I said it what? He may be a great guy, but I'm sick of hearing about him.
How does he like Brett Favre?
I don't like the way he plays. That's a true statement. You look at their quarterback depth chart. We'll get more on this in a minute, but it's him, Tavares Jackson, and Sage Rosenfels. I almost said Rosenfels. Their running back core, I think it's a big deal they parted with Chester Taylor, Adrian Peterson, Toby Gerhart. Wide receivers, Sidney Rice, who's hurt, But you still have Percy Harvin and Bernard Berrien. Harvin's still suffering, though, very heavily throughout training camp from migraines. You heard anything different on that?
Well, that's been a problem since his childhood. So, I mean, that's really...
It's not new, but there are reports that in this particular case, like, he's throwing up during practice because he's in so much pain from it. That struck me as kind of new. But...
And migraines, they're serious, man.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And then, of course, still for Shante Schenko, probably the most interesting name for a tight end in the NFL. Schenk, for short, for those of you who have trouble saying his name. O-line is still amazing. John Sullivan at center. Chad Hutchinson at guard. I mean, it's a great setup. And the D-line, even better than the O-line with their bleach. Say again? What'd I say?
Chad.
Did I really? I'm a loser. Okay. So, and then you got the Williams Wall on the D-line, Jared Allen, also defensive end, my favorite Viking. Yes, Weevil.
They're actually getting back, possibly, with their middle linebacker, E.J. Henderson.
So if they manage that, that's a big deal. I mean, he may not be a factor until later in the season because of the nature of the injury he suffered last year, but if they can get him back late in the season to make that push towards the playoffs, that'd be a big deal. I agree. And, of course, you got to mention Cedric Griffin in and for him, Winfield. No.
Shepard.
What's that?
Shepard to pick up the
Oh, wow. I missed that.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, I'm sorry. I just couldn't get hyped for Madu Williams again. So, let's go ahead and kind of break this down from the top. The latest is Brett Favre sent out a text to his team. People were like, hey, Brett, did you send out a text to your team? No, I didn't do that. Hey, did Brett Favre send you a text? Yeah. Hey, Brett, he sent you a text. See, what had happened was... No, so that's kind of all over the place right now. But what I'll say is this, and it's kind of the same thing I said last year regarding his shoulder. At the time he said it, what you got to pay attention to is when he says, if I'm healthy, I'll play. If he's feeling old, I think he believes right now, I think he believes that he is going to retire. However, first of all his players going, dude, don't go. If you go, we suck. I mean, seriously. Championship. You know, that's what they're thinking. I'm not, but any different perspective on that, going straight to the Vikings fan, who's wearing his Jack Lambert jersey.
It's going back to the whole healthy thing. ESPN had a slow news day, so they just decided to throw Brett Favre out there.
Okay, hold it. Let me make something very clear to you. Slow news day or not, ESPN is still going to pimp Favre. Do you remember the first time that he retired? Which is kind of sad, I have to say that. Remember the first time he retired? Okay? It was as if Brett Favre died. An entire week of coverage, you think the dude was in a plane crash. Okay? Come on. But to get back in tackle with that, the thing that I'm going to at least have interesting in my setup so far, 10-6 for the Vikings as well. Weasel.
11-5, 4-2 in the division.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
I'm basing mine on Favre not coming back. They're 3-3 in division, 8-8 overall.
Which, for Favre not coming back, is a pretty good prediction. I think, I assumed that Favre is back for the moment because he's still kind of on the roster. I believe that he believes he's going to retire right now, whether he does or not. I think his teammates will probably beg him back into it. I don't know. Today I'll say he's going to retire just because that's how he feels. Weasel? Think he's going to retire?
He's not going to retire. Come on. He just doesn't want to go through training camp. He doesn't want to go through a preseason game. He'll be back for a game of preseason.
You know, that was a great point last year.
Yeah.
However, since it's been established, we all know that he could just go up to Chile and go, dude, I'm not taking reps. And it would be okay.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I don't buy that theory of he just wants to skip training camp.
Well, he's...
It's kind of like...
about if he's healthy.
It's kind of like...
what it comes down to.
Yeah, and it's kind of like when there are offers being favored or listened to from the Vikings for $7 million more dollars per year, and then he has the audacity to say, oh, it's not about the money. Technically speaking, I know why he said that, but, you know, he's a Mississippi guy. He's necessarily the most, how you say, eloquent, right? So in light of that, 10-6, I have them at 4-2 in the division, and I have the Packers at 10-6, because I believe the Packers will get swept By the Vikings, yeah. So that means I have the Vikings going to playoffs and winning division. Weasel, you have the Vikings going on. You have the Packers winning the day on the strength of Favre's
retirement. Yeah, based on Favre not coming.
If Favre doesn't come back, is that worth the two-game difference to bring in the double-digit wins and contend in the playoffs? For the playoffs, I should say.
Well, I had Green Bay and Minnesota splitting, so... if with Favre back, I have also... It would be losing to... They have to play the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
So I got them... If Favre's back, they will beat two of the NFC East teams.
Yeah, I think they're going to beat the Cowboys just on revenge. Yeah.
I got them... The Giants beating them, but if Favre's back, I think Giants will lose against them.
Okay.
Miami, I think... Actually, it was NFC or AFC East.
Who
they're playing against.
Okay.
I got Miami.
NFC South, AFC East. Got it, right.
Yeah, I got Miami, the Jets, and New England beating them without Favre. With Favre, I think they'll beat New England and to the close to the Jets and Miami.
Okay. And actually, you mentioned New England. I'll just mention it really quickly because you brought it up there. The key reason why I didn't have them beating the Patriots necessarily in my mind has nothing to do with Favre. It's because they're missing EJ Henderson. Somebody to beat the living hell and scare Brady into going, come on, throw the flag at me, hit me later. Anyways, anyone else find it interesting that as far as Patriot gear goes, the only women's clothing has number 4 on it, or number 12 on it? I'm just saying. So that'll close out the NFC North. You want to go ahead and email us about how you feel about it, about our predictions, SOTG@gmail.com. Of course, you can always follow us on Twitter. The SOTG. And with that, we'll take it to the next division very shortly.